While you're standing, would you turn with me in your Bible to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. The book of Daniel, chapter 3. And we're going to be reading, beginning with verse 19. Daniel, chapter 3, beginning with verse 19. This is what it says. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the fiery furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire, midst of the fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "True king." "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Amen. This is the word of God. Amen. Thanks be unto God. Please be seated. I want to say something this morning about faith in a fiery furnace. If there is such a thing, faith in a fiery furnace. Let's review the book of Daniel up to this point. The 3 men that we see in the text this morning were among those who had been taken from Judah when Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army besieged the city of Jerusalem. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of Yahweh, which Nebuchadnezzar carried away into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. We know also that he took some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men who were handsome in appearance, athletic in stature, who had academic potential. And among these were Daniel, whom Nebuchadnezzar named Belshazzar, Hananiah, who was named Shadrach, Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. These 4 men refused to eat the diet prescribed by the king. They chose instead not to defile themselves with the king's delicacies, nor drink the king's wine, but chose instead to eat vegetables and drink water. The Bible says that they excelled in their academic preparation. God blessed their efforts even while in exile. They mastered the language and culture and literature of the Chaldeans. They excelled in a strange land because they chose not to defile their bodies or cloud their minds with the king's wine. And God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. At the end of their classes, at the end of their 3-week apprenticeship, they were brought before King Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed all of the candidates for the open positions in his court. And among them, none was found, the Bible says, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They served before the king. My brothers and sisters, I thought I would pause here, because this is a word for those preparing to move to the next level of living, the next level of your life. This word instructs us that whatever situation Providence may place you, If God has given you vision for your life, you can excel. In whatever position, whatever situation, providence places you. Because sometimes we don't have control over where we're going to be. But God knows in advance where you will be. And this is suggesting to me, and I'm communicating to you, that wherever you are on the face of the globe, if God has given you vision for your life, and you ought to have vision for your life, you ought to have an idea of where you're going. You ought to have a vision of where you would like to be in your future life. If God has given you a vision for your life, then he has also equipped you with wisdom and strength and the potential to fulfill the vision that he has given you for your life. Amen. 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 So stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused on the plan. Pursue your vision with prayer and discipline and patience, and God will bless your efforts. Amen. By the time we arrive at chapter 3 of Daniel, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego have been promoted and are serving as high-ranking government officials in the king's court. They are VIPs among the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrate, and all the officials of the providence. On this occasion in chapter 3, all of the officials of the kingdom were called together to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They were commanded in the text, "At the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, harp, lyre, the psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a fiery furnace." The command that's given by the king presents a problem to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they refused to worship the gods of Babylon and would not bow down to the image of gold. And it was an impressive image. The image of the statue, it was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, with a head made of solid gold. It was an idol image of King Nebuchadnezzar. But to bow down to the image, while it may seem a simple act, bowing to it in public was an announcement of doubt in the God whom they claim to be sovereign. You can't worship God and idols. You have to choose. It's like Joshua said on his way out, "Choose ye this day whom you will serve." You can't serve God and idols. You can't bow down to the idols of culture and be a child of God. You got to choose to bow down in public, to bow down in private, was to give allegiance to an idol. And it was against what the boys had been taught in temple class at Jerusalem. To bow down to a gold image was an act of rebellion that would destroy their witness in Babylon. These three men were determined to honor God, the God of their ancestors. The God of their ancestors. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's interesting to note that Daniel was not included in this narrative. Daniel was responsible for their placement. They had connection. They networked. Daniel was at the top, and he was able to get his boys positions somewhere at the top. But he isn't included in this dilemma. He's not here in this text. But we have three, and I just want you to indulge me for a minute, because we know that the number three is the number of the Godhead. The Godhead consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do I have any Trinitarians in the house with me this morning? There is the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the three. The three men in the text, in my imagination, are representing people who believe in God. I believe that the number three says something about God's relationship with his human creation. I believe that number three says something about God's relationship with his human creation. Remember, this transpired before Jesus was born. They don't know the name of Jesus. But still, in the Old Testament, we have demonstration of God's love for his human creation. And so in these three, we see God's relationship with his human creation. First, you are created in the image and after the likeness of God. Every person born, regardless of where you were born or who you were born to, if God has given you life, you are created in the image and after the likeness of God. You may have some physical deformities, but you are created in the image and the likeness of God. I think the first thing that this shows us is that God loves his human creation. That you are created in the image and after the likeness of God. Secondly, you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. These boys were saved by faith through faith, even though they did not know the name of Jesus. I'm talking to you. These men were saved by God's grace because they believed God. Even though they did not know the name of Jesus. But it was because of Jesus that they were saved. Third, you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness for God's goodness, God's power, and God's grace in every generation. These men were not only Hebrews, they were not the only Hebrews that lived in Judea when Jerusalem was besieged. There were some Hebrew people who were left in Judea, in Judah. They had to work hard to grow their food, toil in the heat of the day, and suffer to make ends meet in a countryside that had been ravaged by war. There were some Hebrew men who, along with Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, came, was taken to Babylon. But we have no word about them. We do know some of them hung their harps on the branches of poplar trees as they sat woefully by the rivers of Babylon. We hear their cries, but we don't see their works. And still, there were other Hebrew men, not named in the text, who served the gods of Babylon and fell down and worshiped the golden image. But not these three. These three never forgot that they were immigrants in a strange land. They may have enjoyed wealth and comfort, but they were still captives in a strange land. They had social status in the king's court, but they never forgot the God of their ancestors. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were united witness that Yahweh was the only true and living God. They remembered their lessons on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and how God used Moses to bring them out of bondage in Egypt, and how God gave them bread in the wilderness and water from rocks and a cloud to lead them by day and a pillar of fire by night through the rugged terrain of the Sinai Desert. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lived prosperously with material wealth and social status, yet they maintained their commitment and faith to God. I can almost hear those boys quoting Psalms 124. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, they would have swallowed us whole. What a powerful witness when people remember how they got over. I don't know about you, but that's one thing about Black History Month for me. It's a time of intense remembering of how we got over, how we arrived to where we are today. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, none of us us would have survived, none of us would be here today. Remember how God revealed God's self in their history. They remembered that it was God who had brought them through. And we also need to remember that it was God who brought us through, and that it was God who kept us, and God will keep us. I don't know about you, but I hear this sentiment in the words of James Weldon Johnson's Negro National Anthem. Lift every voice and sing. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us this far on the way, thou who has by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray, lest our feet stray from the places where we met thee, lest our hearts, drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. Shadowed beneath thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's decision to honor God and remain true to themselves caused their suffering. And it's like that sometimes. If you believe God and God's been good to you, there are times when you just have to stand on your convictions about God. These three men in the text took a stand even at the risk of losing their lives. For you and I, the consequences of our decision may not be that severe. But there are times when the conviction of our faith in God may get you ostracized from your peers. Folk might laugh and ridicule you for your faith in God. There will be people who don't understand your decision not to participate in certain activities. Your faith in God puts you in opposition to the world. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in your heart. He regulates your mind and sensitizes your conscience. The Spirit set boundaries that you will not cross. He points out places that you will not go. And there are some things that you will not do simply because you are a child of God. The Bible says that the king commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it's usually heated. He commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they bound them in rope. Mighty men who were military specialists tied those men up. They were physically restricted. They were put at a disadvantage. The king wanted to make sure that there was no possible way for escape. And some of you know what it means to have your hands tied. No access to material resources, no power to leverage because there's nothing you can do. Being bound, your position, you can't defend yourself. Not only were they bound, they were thrown into a condition designed to guarantee their death, a place of geographical confinement, a place where nothing is supposed to prosper. It's a furnace, y'all. A hell on earth created by Babylon. A furnace could be a metaphor for any situation that's designed to destroy or dehumanize or distort you. In the text, we have the worst case scenario. It is here that teaches us that when you trust in God, that there are times when God will prove your faith. God sometimes permits situations to arise in our lives that will test our true faith. And there are times when our faith position will bring suffering and trials and seeming disadvantages to our lives. Walking with God is not always easy, is it? That's why Jesus says to us, in this world you will have tribulation. But then he says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The text says the three men fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they said, King, yes, we did. And he said, look, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. My brothers and sisters, this scene is tailored to teach us something about the character of God. That whatever situation you might find yourself in, When you belong to God and trust in God, God will be with you in that situation. And that God will be with you through that situation. And that God will be God despite that situation. The same God that's able to prevent you from going into the fire is able to deliver you from the fire, but he's also able to bless you in the fire. Have I got a witness here this morning? God can bless you. Yeah, he can keep you from the fire. Yeah, he can deliver you from the fire, but we serve an awesome God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a God who demonstrates that he will bless you in the fire. Amen. Someone here today may be going through some tough times. Your faith is being tested in the fire. You may feel there's no way out. The word for you this morning is that God is in it with you. And that when God is in it with you, God will make a difference. Trust God in the fire. It might be uncomfortable, but he's with you in the fire. It might seem painful, but he's with you in the fire. God is with you, and he's able to preserve you. Have I got a witness this morning? That's why the Reverend say, we don't look like what we've been through. We don't look like what we're going through. And the reason is because we're not going alone. We are in it with a God who is able to preserve. The Hebrew men were bound and thrown into a situation that was designed to kill them. But because of the presence of God, the fire, instead of burning them, burned off their ropes. Have I got a witness? They were thrown in bound, but now they are free from those restraints. God's presence has the power to set you free. Willful sin binds you. It restrains you from being what God has created you to be. But faith in God, mean for salvation, will set you free. That's why Jesus said, if the Son of Man makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Free from the restraints of doubt. Free from the bondage of religious legalism. Free, liberated to trust God in every situation. They were free in the fire, but they also had power in the fire. The text says that they were walking around in the fire, and they were walking around together in the fire. Even in that damnable situation designed for their destruction, they were on the move with God in their company. Come on now. They didn't just sit down and give in to their circumstances. They didn't sit around and complain about how hot it was in there. They weren't inactive, blaming Nebuchadnezzar for their plight. They were alive, and they were active, and they were energized by the power and the presence of God. The king was astonished when he looked into that situation. He couldn't believe his eyes. It blew his mind. He didn't know their God was that powerful. But when he looked at the situation, he knew that he had created a situation that even his own people couldn't survive. And we know that because the men who bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and went to the furnace to throw them in, those men were consumed by the fire that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked around in. Y'all missing, y'all shout this morning. You can depend on God. Instead of complaining and killing one another, they were walking together. What the king saw, the people defying their circumstances. Instead of being consumed by the flames, they were building in the flames. And what made all this possible, my brothers and sisters, was the one that the king saw, the fourth person who looked like the Son of God. And the reason we are here today, the reason that you and I can give God thanks, the reason we can witness to what's happening in the text is because God has been with us. This text tells us that God is with you in it, that God will see you through it. Somebody knows from experience that God will see you through the difficult days and through the lonely nights. If you're here this morning and you know that it had not been for the Lord, you wouldn't be here. Just go ahead and wave your hand. We are here this morning not because we were given life on a silver platter. We are here this morning not because we've always been welcomed in every place that we've been. We are here this morning because God is able to make a way out of no way. That's why you and I can say, I don't know about you, but you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Hey! I'm in important places sometimes where nobody looks like me, where nobody is wearing the skin that I'm in, and I'm there feeling blessed. And I sometimes get looked at like, what are you doing here? And why are you looking like that? Well, the answer is, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You counted me out. God counted me in. You wanted to expel me, destroy me, and kill me. But the God I serve, is able to preserve me and bless me and prosper me. It's always good to remember. It's always good to remember. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has survived, let everything that's prospering this morning in spite of it all, let everything with breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our ancestors form a great cloud of witnesses who can testify that in the midst of an infernal, profound immorality, of immoral and wicked society, God is able. He's able. I heard the songwriter say, and I'm finished now, time is built on swift transition. None on earth unmoved can stand, which means everybody have troubles. None on earth unmoved can stand. Black people, white people, red people, yellow people, none on earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Is there anybody this morning that's willing as we go forward to hold to his hand? God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand. Hey! Faith in the fire. Stand up with me. Would you stand? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through. There's trouble on every hand. Whether you're young or old or in between, you face challenges in life because that's the way life is. There is no magic formula for health, wealth, and happiness. You got to go through like everybody else. The good news is this morning that you can go through with God in your company. And if God is with you, He's more than the world against you. Can I praise the Lord? Can somebody give God some praises this morning?